Hello and welcome to You Both. Today we have Wendy Farley Campbell, Community Development Director for the City of Florence with us. Wendy's leading the city's Housing Implementation Plan Stakeholders Advising Team. One of the key issues they're working on is our topic of discussion today, short-term housing. Hi, Wendy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Alicia.
We've also got Anna Hosing with us. He's the Director of the Lincoln County Department of Planning and Development, located in Newport. Lincoln County's been dealing with short-term housing issues for some time and recently passed a referendum phasing out short-term housing. Anna's joining us to talk about the process Lincoln County went through. Thanks for joining us, Anna.
Thank you for the invitation. Pleased to be here.
Can we do something to start out with this morning to clarify for our listeners what we're actually talking about when we say short-term housing? People often also mean a similar thing when they talk about vacation rentals or verbos. And I was going to ask you, Wendy, to define it for us, but my understanding is that clarifying that issue isn't as easy as it may seem from a planning point of view. And that's actually one of the things that the city's working on.
That's correct. They can be very complicated, and it does vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction on what can be a short-term rental. For Florence, we presently do not regulate them in that way. However, generally speaking, they are a living unit, or it could be a bedroom that you rent. The key factor being that it's for less than 30 days. Short-term, meaning it's not for long-term, typical lease types of housing. Can it be your garage? No. Presently in Florence, no. And then for like your mother-in-law cottage that you might have, your accessory dwelling unit, those cannot be short-term rentals, and that is in code.
Anna, so what has Lincoln City done in terms of definitions?
Lincoln County.
Yes, thank you.
A true vacation rental, at least from our jurisdiction's perspective, is the owner is not there. You hand over the keys to the short-term tenant, and then the owner is not there. A bed and breakfast is quite different in that the owner must be there. The owner is actually there. In our code, we've actually had a bed and breakfast part of our land use code for a long time, it requires a conditional use, and there's some opportunity for the neighbors. So that's been in place for a long, long time. And so that's how we see it. Vacation rentals and has so much to do with whether or not you're going to be impactful for the neighbors, how responsible or not they are. So we just always need to keep that in mind. And I think that's one of the reasons that when the Lincoln County, I guess it was 6 or 7 or 8 years ago, decided finally to grasp the nettle, because the community was coming to us and explaining, this is ruining our neighborhoods, that there's all this traffic and there's no parking and it's noisy and it's day and night and it's always a party scene. Does it impact other people in the neighborhood? Yes, profoundly. And that's why we ended up in Lincoln County, I believe. We had a very, very dedicated group of local residents that went ahead and did a ballot measure because they were not pleased at the regulations that Lincoln County put in place. They just wanted these things gone. And so it's very polarized, at least what's happened up in Lincoln County.
It was impacting people's lives enough where citizens got together and actually built their own referendum. I know that these are polarizing
cases. And it won by a big margin. That was a real shot across the bow of the vacation rental industry, that ballot measure was eye-popping how many people voted to ban vacation rentals. It's like, wow.
What makes it such a polarizing issue? What are the things on the other side? Obviously, citizens living next to vacation rentals can be really problematic, but what's the polarizing issue? What's the other side of that?
Well, Wendy, I'll take a crack at that because we've lived it. Because in America, even the home ownership now is changing. In the past, Americans used their home as kind of a piggy bank. They paid their mortgage in, and they developed equity, but they weren't flipping these houses. The business model for housing in the United States has changed, especially in high amenity places like Florence and Lincoln County. Real estate is now an asset class for wealthy people. One of the most memorable conversations I had a year or two ago was a woman called me, and her family's from Seattle. She expressed, I'm from Seattle. She called me to say, hey, our family's thinking about buying this oceanfront home in Lincoln County. Will it be possible to expand the septic system? And she was asking that because we're not in a city with sewer. We have septic systems. And oh, by the way, vacation rentals blow out septic systems because there's so many people and it's the party scene. So we have septic systems, getting blown out left and right. So one of our first things was let's cap occupancy of these things based on septic capacity. That's one of the things that we did in our regulations. So this woman called and said, what are the chances I can expand the septic capacity from 2 bedrooms to 3 bedrooms in this oceanfront house? And I said, well, ma'am, be careful what you're wishing for, because that could be a $30,000 advanced treatment system. And she laughed. laughed. I could hear her spit hitting her cell phone. And she said, "You don't understand the economics of this industry, do you?" And I said, "Well, apparently not. It's a business." And that's at the core of the conflict. Other people are saying, "Wait a minute, this is a residential neighborhood." Wendy would certainly resonate with her. "This is residential zoning. That's a commercial activity. And that's not right. And we don't want that in our residential neighborhood." So that's that. I think that's the core of it.
So there's business on one side and residential neighborhoods on the other side. And sometimes they're
business
in conflict.
Interests, not business interests, neighborhoods. But right. There are, right. These are businesses. And they're basically taking a residential home and are using it as a business. And so that's why the people in Lincoln County that pushed hard to phase them out and ban them, they were pushing hard on me in particular as the head of the planning department, like, "Why doesn't Mr. Husing do something about this? This should be a zoning issue." And we purposely, Wendy, we wanted to, you know, for here's a practice tip for potentially you guys to think about. We made it a business license rather than a land use decision because we didn't want to have all of the bureaucracy that is tied up in land use decisions. And by having it be a business license, we could be so much more nimble as a community in terms of what we do and what we don't do and how we do it and what kind of, let's say, review process or appeals process. So we went to the business license model, and I'm really glad we did. But that was part of the core complaint from the people that didn't like vacation rentals, that they said, "How could you avoid the obvious commercial aspect of that in a residential zone and not make it a zoning issue?"
So one of the things that is impacting Florence pretty significantly is the housing stock, housing availability for people who need to live here. We talked on Coast Radio last summer about how serious the housing shortage was. And so what does that look like in Florence? I know you've got some numbers and have thought about quite extensively, right, about how this is working for Florence. Wendy, what can you tell us?
Yeah. In 2017, Florence finished up an analysis for their housing needs. It's called a housing needs analysis. And during that study, the consultants identified that Florence had a pent-up demand of around 143 living units, meaning if 143 units just appeared.
If they appeared out of magic tomorrow, would be gone by the next day. That's the need. That's part
well,
of the need.
That was the need back in 2017, and that need has grown. And now today, even with the housing that has been produced in the last 5 years since that study was done, the housing need today is over 300 pent up. So it's grown. It's doubled, more than doubled. And so that's the impact that short-term rentals can have on,
well, Wendy, would
on
you
your
agree?
Housing
we
demand.
Really have to there's so many wild accusations about how much vacation rentals really sort of start to remove houses from inventory. The classic response is, "Wait a minute, these oceanfront houses that are the typical high-dollar vacation rentals." Well, guess what? They probably have always been second homes for right. Portland people and people from the Valley.
I know for our department, we get, on average, about at least one inquiry a week on someone who is typically coming from out of town and is looking to buy a home that is in town, in a neighborhood, not just Old Town or not just in the commercial area, not just out on the beach. And they're wanting to know what our processes are and policies are related to converting it to a short-term rental.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
boy.
A lot. That's a lot. So what does that impact? Well, this housing study that was done in 2017 identified that over the course of the next 20 years, as of 2017, so we're already 5 years into it, over that next 20 years, we were going to need approximately 263 homes that would be used as second homes or vacation rentals, short-term rentals. So either second homes or short-term rentals. That comes out to around 13 a year, and that's the impact on our housing stock. That's quite a few houses being converted because nobody's really, some are building them to be short-term rentals, but there is a lot of conversion
and
going
Wendy,
on.
What you just said, that's also part of the exponential expansion of that industry. It used to be the oceanfront homes. You better have had one of those to make it work. Now, this other stock that was very much used to be just standard residential housing is also being used.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Go pull up an Airbnb map. Just go to those websites and pull them up. You can see where they're at. They're in your neighborhood.
I've got people in my department, young, wonderful, bright people that I'm worried about losing because they're looking at what's going on and they're saying to themselves, "I'll never be able to afford a home in Lincoln County." A whole generation of people are way behind the eight ball. Unless they inherit properties or money or something like that, I don't know what they do. And that is really awful.
Florence is kind of looking down the barrel here. And you have a housing implementation plan stakeholders advising team that's got a lot of great people on it. How are we negotiating this in Florence?
So with the housing study that we did in 2017, we created, the next step was to do the policy implementation. We did some of that in 2019. Various codes were updated and policies were created. And we've done some work. And so this is round two. And that's what this group has been been brought forward. It is a very large group. They are made up of typically professionals within their various agencies and organizations. But we also have a host of people that are there that are representing the homeless or the lower income spectrum of the housing, you know, advocates, if you will, and then also senior housing, the tribes, you name it. And they're there to bring their perspective. What are they seeing on a day-to-day basis? The Cyrus Outreach Center.
From a community development perspective, that sounds like a dream, right? To get all of those people together in one room, really trying to negotiate something that'll work for as many people as possible. What are the challenges that you face as a community development director?
For me, it's important that everybody gets heard. And that's different directors will have different challenges. To me, that's the most important. It's goal one. That's why we have such a diverse group. And it is going to be a negotiation of trying to figure out what is right for Florence.
I mean, it's a really tough issue. And do you think Florence has particular issues that it's dealing with, possibly the housing shortage being the biggest one?
Well, that's a big one for sure, and probably the biggest. We don't presently get a lot of complaints about short-term rentals. We are not just full of nuisance code complaints, and we do have a lot of short-term rentals. Florence has a unique geography in that we have a whole lot of houses that are not in the city. A lot of people think they're in the city. Yeah. They're not. They're in the urban growth boundary, and the reason for that is we are a little bit unique in that we have a water district that has been serving this area for a very long time, since the 70s. And so all that area up that is oceanfront, it's all served by the water district. And so they were allowed to build really densely and tight, and they aren't septic. And those septic systems are at the end of their life.
One of my most important observations, why I like working for local government so much, is that I think we are the foundation of democracy. And we are, most people, when they interact with government, they're interacting with local government. They're not folks in the state every once in a while. God, the feds, you know, they're off in God knows where. So we're the ones that are on the, we are the interface between people and their democracy. Yep. You can never do enough of that. And you can never be too good at that. And I just think in the current environment, it's just incumbent on us. It's so important that we get it right where we are, because that's where most people are going to interact with their government. It's going to be through us.
And we do forget sometimes that the government is run by the people as opposed to top down, that it is the rest of us, the citizens, that own our local government.
And I've just pointed out that ultimately we're going to need, given the market failure at the cost of land and the cost of building supplies, I think we must get the federal government back in the business of helping to fund housing in the United States, because we're nibbling at the margins here. I know I'm not alone in being very weary of going to a meeting and arriving at the same point, and everybody looks at each other like, what are we going to do now? And then it's like, well, time's up, and we all go home. And then 6 months later or a year later, the same people are in the same room looking at each other, having the same conversation.
And that part of that project is the hospital at the table? Yes, mm-hmm. they are. Is the school mm-hmm. district at the table? Yes, they are. These are the largest employers in the community. The one closing thing is, it's, as Anno said, a lot of difficult discussions lie ahead. I'm optimistic that hopefully won't be as bad and tough of a conversation as it was for the county. Hoping that Florence residents and businesses can have a positive experience in the conversation, but being gentle with everybody and making sure everybody listens to each other's side and coming up with what makes sense for Florence.
Wendy Farley Campbell, Community Development Director, and Anna Hussing, the Director of the Lincoln County Department of Planning and Development. Thank you very much for coming in and having this conversation. These are some difficult things that we face as planning communities on the coast, and I really appreciate you coming in and having this conversation. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia, for inviting us.
And that wraps it up, the July edition of Our Town.